do it all. Not part. Don't pick and choose. Do it all. See, that's why, and I want your mind to start getting into this, a lawbreaker before God are those who try to keep the law. A lawbreaker is not the person out honky-tonking or really having the, what we call a real sinful time. That's not the lawbreaker in the Scriptures. The lawbreaker is a person who tries to live by the law because you can't do it. And we'll see this over and over. The only thing that the law can do is curse. They are under a curse. The law can only curse. People tell you you want to do this by the law. No, the law can only curse. It was not designed to give life. It was not designed to give blessings to either an unbeliever or a believer. It can only curse. Israel, and this is going to lead us to why the law, but it, and I want it to sort of build, I want you to just keep building. Well, then why did he even give the law? Well, why did he even give the law? So that when we get there, it comes at the right point here. Israel rejected the Abrahamic covenant of just doing it by faith. And preferred to do it by some kind of working and thinking they could do it. Look at Deuteronomy 27:26. These little verses are scattered all through the law and all through the Old Testament. But let's take a look at it. Deuteronomy 27. And take a look. It's the last book of the Pentateuch and of the law. So this is 27 and verse 28. Cursed is he who does not confirm the words of this law by doing them. And know what the people say. And all the people shall say, Amen, meaning we can do it. We agree, we'll do it. This is not, I don't want to get too far adrift, but I want your mind to be aware of these things. If we took stacks of paper of the Old Testament, of the Mosaic Law, it would be a pretty good stack. If we took the passages of the Abrahamic Covenant in the Old Testament, we'd have a half a page. And this one's going to look really look how much is written on this, as opposed to this. But it's scattered through. The Abrahamic Covenant is just scattered through the Old Testament, people. But it doesn't come out with the great thunder and lightning. To give you another idea of the difference. The law, when the law was given on Mount Sinai, it came with thunder, lightning, the earth shook. A lot of big things came. Got our attention. The Abrahamic Covenant came, or took Elijah out of the cave when he was asleep, woke him up, and said, hear the thunder. If you study the things that happened at Elijah and the things of the coming of the law, they're the same. Very important. But he comes out and the thunder, and he said, I'm not, and then the lightning, I'm not there. And all the turmoil. And what was he saying, if we can hear? I'm not in the law. In a gentle breeze. But the law comes so strong, so powerful, demands all the attention, and that's what it gets. So the people thought they could do it. Okay, now let's take a look at verse 10, just to show you a few things before we quickly go to verse 11. Verse 10, Paul says, as many as are of the works of the law are cursed. Moses says, in the Deuteronomy passage, cursed is everyone who does not abide by the law. Now you see the difference? Paul says, as many who do the work, all right, you do the law, you're cursed. That's what Paul says. Moses says, in his writing, if you do not do the law, you're cursed. Well, we're kind of caught, aren't we? And it sounds like, if you took these two, it sounds like they're contradicting one another. But for the eye, if we want the eye to see and the ear to hear, whoever does the works of the law is cursed. Paul says, whoever does the law is under curse. Now, why is that true? Because if you do the law, the law is going to increase sin. The law is going to bring wrath. So, if you do the law, this is what's going to happen to you. So he says, if you do the law, you're cursed. It's not going to save you. I'm going to put a knot here. It is not going to bring justification. But now let's look what Moses said. So we can just see it. Any way you want to look at this people, it's not by doing for God. Moses said, whoever does not the law is cursed. If one tries to keep the law, does not do the law, he's cursed. If you try to do the law, but you don't keep the whole law, then you're under curse. So they're both saying the same thing. They're just saying it in two different ways. You're not going to make it if you try to go to God by the works of the law. Whoever does not the law is cursed. Whoever tries to do the law, does not do the law, is a lawbreaker. That's a person who tries to do the law. Now, just to kind of keep your mind flowing here, who took the curse of the law for us? Jesus Christ. He took the curse for us. So I just want that in your mind as to going through this. All right, let's look at verse 11. The truth of the gospel now. He jumps now to the truth of the gospel. And once again, the works versus the faith issue. And we've already seen the great issue in 2:16. What is the works of the law or the truth of the gospel? The truth of the gospel is very simple. I will do it. I, God, will do it for you. Trust me. That's the truth of the gospel. That's the good news. Gospel means good news. And the truth of the good news is, unbeliever, believer, I'll do it. Trust me. That's why the gospel is for both. All right, verse 11. Now, that no one is justified. Now, what does that mean? Receives justification by the law, by the works of the law, before God is evident. Well, where is it so evident, Paul? I got this whole law all through the Old Testament that makes it very clear that we can get a righteousness from the law. You're coming along and saying, it's evident. Well, it's not quite so evident to me, Paul. Because it's just little sprinkles through the Old Testament. So look what he says. For the righteous man shall live by faith. Now, that's in Habakkuk 2:4. We're not going to turn there right now. But somewhere along the line, we may have to. But what I want you to see is, if you take the whole of the Old Testament, it'll burden you down with the law. But for the eye that will see, there it is. It's there if you want to see. If you don't want to see, you won't. Dr. Pentecost, in one of our final exams at Dallas Seminary, and with Dr. Pentecost, you usually take in two blue books. Because he just has you do a lot of writing. And Paul Stark, who's now home with the Lord, a good friend of mine at that time, and he and I took. It's called the Pentateuch, first five books of the Bible. And Dr. Pentecost put on the board, list the five most important events of the Pentateuch. And as was customary a lot, the profs would walk out.